Jim Taylor back on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. Let's congratulate Jay Bazzari. Of course, a 1984 grad at Rock Ridge High School, former head basketball coach at Westmer, coached at Alwood, coached at Orion. And now we see him a lot during the basketball season, an official, and also an umpire during the softball season. And we congratulate him today because he's been assigned to the IHSA State Softball Tournament. So, Coach, congratulations. It's always nice to kind of be recognized by your peers and by, you know, the organization that oversees interscholastic athletics. So how cool is that?
You know, it's really cool. What's really nice is when you see, you know, old time umpires, old time officials, they're coming back saying, hey, congratulations, you deserve it, enjoy it, that kind of thing. You know, we, over our regional last week, I'm working with Chris Wilcoxon, who is Ken Wilcoxon's son. And of course, I've known Ken forever, and he's been to state in multiple sports. And so when a guy like that walks up to you and says, hey, you deserve it, congratulations, it really does mean a lot. It's really cool.
Well, and it's interesting because I know when we talk about this officiating shortage kind of throughout the state, you know, throughout the Midwest, throughout the region, whatever, throughout the nation, you know, we're hearing this. And, you know, I know your first love is probably basketball, but, and you officiate that, but, you know, you've also taken on umpiring here, I would say maybe fairly recently. It hasn't been a long time. Well, why did you choose to get into the kind of the umpiring game at the softball level? What enticed you to that?
Yeah, that's a great question. Actually, back when I was in high school, I had a guy named Ron Kramer, who I had gone to kind of school with his daughter here at Rock Ridge. And, he was, at that time it was called ASA. Now it's called USA, but he was a big ASA umpire, and he got me involved in it. You know, at that time, you know, for a kid in high school and entering college, you know, going and working at that time anyway, weekend games and getting paid $15 a game or $10 a game, whatever it was kind of cool. And you got to know some of those folks. And so it was really on the youth circuit, the ASA circuit back in the '80s that I got started. And then when I kind of got into teaching and coaching, kind of fell by the wayside a little bit. And then a little later on, about 12 years ago now, my good friend Jason Danner and I, we kind of just thought, you know what, both of us kind of had done the coaching thing for a while. Why don't we get into officiating and umpiring? And that's kind of where the IHSA start for us began. And, you know, there are a lot more officials in the basketball side of things, just because in IHSA softball, it's hard for a lot of folks to get to a 4:30 start, you know, with their work schedule. And so that's one thing that kind of hurts umpiring in IHSA is just kind of the start time, but they have to do that at least in the spring, you know, for light and that type of purposes. But that's kind of my background. It was, and I've been an ASA, USA softball umpire for a long, long time, and more recently the IHSA side of things.
So, you know, you mentioned you were umpiring kind of out of high school, but then, you know, back coaching basketball, then you get back into it. So how long have you actually been back into umpiring then?
Yeah, it's been about 12, 13 years now that we've been kind of working in high school. And I remember it was funny. Jason Danner and I were working. Our first high school game was over at Alwood, and we had Alwood and Rock Ridge. And my brother was actually in the dugout for Rock Ridge at the time. And Rock Ridge had this really good pitcher, and she was leaping, and it was our first game, and I'm calling leaping, and my brother's howling at me. So it was kind of a comical way to start, as far as the legal pitch thing goes, and nobody argued that she was leaping. But that was kind of our start. And so, from that point on, we just kind of kept working our way into more and more games. And at that time too, there wasn't a lot of junior high IESA opportunities. Now, you know, folks that are interested in umpiring, at least down, it's more of the smaller schools still, can do a little IESA umpiring. And there's just such a big difference between umpiring school setting teams, whether it's IESA or IHSA. So I often now tell people, and you and I kind of talked about various things at the time too, if you want to start officiating and you want to start umpiring, and I know it sounds terrible or counterproductive, but I would avoid the youth stuff it can get a little messy, and start in the school stuff, whether it's lower level basketball or lower level volleyball or football or whatever, junior high, high school, because it's really a better area to kind of start to learn things.
Well, so you're saying, and I'm kind of reading between the lines here, is that in these organizations that are school sponsored, you're talking about better oversight. Right. I mean, that's the big thing in all this, because I've said this ad nauseum, if you're a youth league coordinator now, that's outside of kind of a school purview, that it's not IHSA or IESA, as you mentioned, the first thing you better have on the, you know, your checklist, make sure you have proper oversight of officials and protection of officials. And if you don't do that, you're long story short, you're ruining everything. I mean,
right.
So that's why you feel better at that kind of level then.
Well, in the oversight, as horrible as it sounds, you're talking basically law enforcement, and that's the oversight that unfortunately a lot of these youth programs have to go to. But it's really the oversight of the coaches that you get in the school series, whether it's IEHA or IESA or IHSA, and I work Iowa softball as well. And that's the oversight that's important, and no offense. I know there are a lot of great youth programs and a lot of great youth coaches, but you tend to get more, I don't know if patient is the right word, more disciplined, more patient, a little bit, more sportsmanship. You get that factor in it from the coaches that are more related to the schools than they are necessarily to the youth. Plus, most spectators that are spectating school sports have kind of been through it. They've watched other school sports. They've, even if the dang umpire makes a terrible call, they know that's part of the game. Where unfortunately, a lot of you in these youth venues, you get coaches and spectators who just don't see the whole picture when it comes to officiating and umpiring. And it's true. Some umpires, we make mistakes. We miss a call. We get a bad angle or officials. That happens. And I think in the school setting, there's a more acceptance of that. Whereas in the youth setting, man, you make a wrong call or there's a bad judgment and it's like the world's on fire all of a sudden. And then just things just blow out of control.
All right. So you've been doing basketball then how long now?
About the same time frame, as far as the high school stuff. It's just basketball is a little different because there's more people involved and it's a little harder to work your way up into the regional and sectional. I mean, I've gotten to sectionals, in girls and the regional level and boys. And there's just a lot more folks in that category. And again, I think it has a lot to do with start time. So I, as a kid, that was my goal. I was one of those guys who played on a grass hoop with, or a grass yard with my hoop. And I always wanted to go to the state finals in basketball. And then as a coach, I always wanted to go to the state finals in basketball and almost got there. And then, so at least at this point, I reached the state finals. I probably wouldn't have pictured it as a softball umpire when I was shooting hoops at 7 years old, but, it's still a big thrill. I mean, it's the excitement of it. I mean, we had two extra inning games this week over in the Williamsfield sectional, and there's just an atmosphere and excitement when it comes to the postseason. So seeing that at state level is going to be a lot of fun.
Do you think, so you're a former coach. Do you think that's kind of an ideal, demographic? If you're really trying to say, let's get officials to whatever sport in, like I say, here's a basketball coach, but you can umpire softball, so you can get outside of, where you had the direct contact or your direct relationship. Do you think that's a way to go about, trying to cure this officiating shortage, where maybe it's former coaches are better suited to do this because they've been through it at, the one level, and maybe they have a better understanding, or of course you're going to look at it through a different lens when you're officiating compared to coaching. But I don't know. I mean, I just think that that's kind of an area where, hey, if you used to coach, I think you're better suited maybe than some other people to kind of take on the occupation of officiating, if you understand what I'm saying.
No, I agree completely. I think that's an awesome, as a matter of fact, I was just talking with a coach, like I said, I work in Iowa, and I was talking with a coach who said this was going to be his last year. And I said, well, have you considered umpiring and officiating? He's like, you know, I really have because I enjoy it. And because you do get to be in the game still. And I think coaches, even if they step out of necessarily what their comfort level, like I'm a volleyball official and I'm still learning a lot about volleyball because I didn't really play volleyball in high school and I didn't coach volleyball in high school. But having coached allows you a little bit of room. And plus, I don't know if this is the right way to say it, though, but when you do make a mistake as an umpire or official, that does happen, you kind of understand a little bit more where the coach is coming from, and you don't necessarily get all offended or upset or defensive because, like, yeah, if I was coaching and I saw me just make that mistake, I probably would have gotten a little irritated as well. And so I think there's kind of a comfort level, if you have been through coaching, that you do see the other side of it. I mean, I know a lot of umpires and officials who maybe are a little quick trigger to give a technical or restrict somebody to the dugout, whereas maybe as a former coach, yeah, I'm not going that route. That's definitely where the person's coming from.
Do you think you get a little more benefit of the doubt since you're a former coach? But I'm saying when you're officiating and, you know, maybe another coach that is maybe not too happy with the call will say, well, that guy's a former coach, so he gets it. He's not out to get me. He's just making a call he thinks right.
No, I think that's very true. And matter of fact, you know, when we get mixed up with partners, whether it's basketball or softball, you know, I'll be working with someone who people don't know me or, you know, don't know him or don't know her and know me or know me as a former coach. And they're like, man, nobody ever yells at you. I'm like, well, I've kind of been around a little while. And so even if people know that I may have made a bad call or may admit it, it's a little different scenario. So I agree. And that's something too, is that, you know, former coaches that are in the area, you do get the benefit of doubt, not benefit of doubt on whether they want you to do a good game or, you know, they don't care if you do a bad game, but they're understanding that, hey, I know that guy. I know he's going to try to do his best. He knows he's not going to get everything right. I know I'm not going to get – I know he's not getting everything right, and we move on from there. So I don't think he goes – it's the same thing with the youth side of it. You know, if I go to a USA event in Muscatine and know no one, you know, they think I'm just some that's walked off the – you know, it's my first year umpiring, and I have no idea. And that sounds a little arrogant, but they don't know my background. They don't know me, and so – it does make a little bit of a difference if you're in the area and you're getting into officiating and umpiring.
Have you thought about officiating football? Is that something you'd consider, or you're pretty much happy with what you're doing now?
Well, Jason and my other good friend, Ted Johnson, they've tried to get me, and now Sean Strahan, who I work a lot with now, he does football as well, and they've said that. But, you know, with volleyball, and I enjoy volleyball, even though I'm not near as strong and near as confident right now as I am in the other sports. I enjoy volleyball, and I enjoy basketball and volleyball. It's such a long – I mean, you know, I used to think as a basketball coach that it was such a long season, and it was. Well, when you start officiating, and for us now, you know, we're going to be starting – we start basically mid-August with softball umpiring in the IESA area, and so my state – assignment is June 3rd and 4th. So now you're going from, you know, mid-August to the beginning of June. And I, at this point, you know, you only, for me anyway, you only have so much time and so much energy. And I actually work Iowa pretty much through the end of June, just doing lower level stuff. And so for me, I've got enough on my plate with the three sports and it keeps me going.
All right. So attention is being brought to this officiating shortage that we're hearing about. Are we doing it the right way to try and cure the problem? Or what do you see that needs to be done that maybe is not being done right now?
Well, I think Jason was telling me that as of now, there are more officials and umpires that are 60 years and over than there are 30 years and younger. And if anyone is thinking that we have a problem now with umpire shortage or official shortage, it's going to get exacerbated once some of these other older gentlemen, you know, are also leaving the field. And so I really do think the officiating and the umpiring, needs to kind of have a situation where it's more indoctrinated into the school sports. And then if those folks want to do some youth sports on the weekends or the evenings, and that's the other thing too, is that, you know, it used to be, you know, when youth sports occurred, you know, you'd play on Tuesday, Thursday nights, or you play in, well, now it's all weekend long. And these assigners, you know, they just don't want an umpire or an official to go work a couple of games. They want you to work 5, 6, 7 games a day, and it just consumes everything. And so, you know, someone like me who is going to work Monday through Thursday or Monday through Friday umpiring, I don't want to go do 12 games on the weekend. But some folks would like that money, because the money can be a little bit better. They're going to work all weekend, and then they're not going to work all week. And so I think it's a kind of the perfect storm of having this blossoming youth stuff happen that's kind of taken some umpires, and then, you know, the whole getting indoctrinated. I'll tell you right now, our basketball crew is going to work with a young man that wants to get in officiating, just graduated from college. And we're going to get him involved with us, but on a gradual basis. You know, he's going to work a little three man. I mean, he'll probably work a few varsity games. I think that's what crews and officials and people need to do right now is, you know, get a crew that you have fun with, that you enjoy being with, and then pick up someone and start to get them involved, and then they get their own crew, and then you pick up another person and start to get them involved, and then they get in a crew. Because I do think having crews makes a big difference, because you get to ride the events together. You get to have some laughs. You know, if you have a bad game, you can talk about it on the way home, and kind of helps you sleep a little bit better. Or you can stop, grab something to eat, grab a beverage, that kind of thing. So I think that's part of it too, is trying to get more crews working together.
All right. So, you know, from your observation, from like social media, okay, you see, you know, these attention grabbing headlines where, you know, man with bat attacks official. You know, it happens in Utah, Texas, name whatever state. Maybe even happens in Illinois, whatever. You see those sensational kind of headlines.
Right.
So, I know those extreme things are out there. But I guess just your observation in general, where are we at, do you think? I mean, because you do volleyball, you do softball, you do basketball. Is it – you know, is it just basically there are the exceptions out there that you're always going to have, or are you just seeing kind of gradually the condition of fan behavior overall just deteriorating? I mean, what's your observation on that?
I think the social media, maybe you never used to hear about something that happened in Utah 10 years ago or 15 years ago because of social media. And I think that is part of it. I do think fan behavior has gotten progressively worse. I'm not saying that it's at an all-time high or anything like that, but I do think it's a combination of factors. And I do think that people have to, spectators now, family members, even players and coaches, I think folks have to realize that bad breaks, bad calls, it's part of life. It's part of the game. And so rather than screaming and going crazy or berating someone if a call didn't go your way, you know, hey, tough call, tough call. Everybody in the gym or everybody on the diamond knows that, hey, I disagreed with that. But rather than say, oh, Blue, that was terrible. You're awful. That's horrible. You should never be umpiring. Just say, hey, tough call. We'll get the next one. Something like that. It's the same message. It's just said in a different way. And therefore, you don't have emotions that are rising up and going crazy. And then you're teaching our youth, our kids who really need that lesson is, well, yeah, okay, so that was a bad call. So let's go to the next play and let's go on. That's why you're playing 7 innings, or that's why you have 4 periods, or, you know, that type of thing, and move on. And so I think it's a combination of factors, but I would hope that folks who are thinking about entering umpiring or officiating don't hesitate because they fear spectators, or they fear ridicule, or they fear getting yelled at, because that there are ways around that. There are ways of starting in the school settings or starting with a crew who's experienced and maybe taking some of that pressure off them. There are ways to go around that. So I hope if anyone's listening and that, you know, I really thought about umpiring officiating. Man, I saw that Facebook post the other day of Joe Schmo and Santa Barbara taking a bat to this particular umpire. Try not to let that be the determining factor of whether or not you try to enter it. Because it really is, and I would say this whether or not I was selected to use this to go to the state tournament, it really can be a lot of fun, and you really get to be in the game. And at the end, you know, honestly, it's really the simple person who comes up to you after a game and says, "Hey, thanks, Blue, for being here. You did a great job tonight." I mean, that's perfect. That's it. And then you have a few laughs with your partners and you head home and you go from there. So I hope that those social media posts that we see every now and then don't keep from them from starting. At least start, you know, at least start, give an idea to it. And if it does seem like it's not yours, and you can get around equipment. There's used equipment. There's guys that would give away equipment or things like that. So I would hope it doesn't stop anybody from starting.
All right, and as we wind down with Jay Bizzari again being assigned to the IHSA state softball finals, again, just being kind of recognized by a peer group or an organization to get, you know, the ultimate assignment like you got. Just kind of close it out. What does that mean to you?
Well, I'm like a kid, to be honest with you. I mean, I kind of hoped that this was going to be the year. I'd worked a couple of supers before. And so I'm just like a kid who wants to know whether they got selected to go to, you know, the NCAA tournament. I'm checking my website and seeing if the contracts have been posted yet. And so when it comes through and all of a sudden there it is. And now, you know, Dan are sending me a message saying, "Hey, congratulations." And people are asking, "Hey, did you get in? And it was wonderful. It was great. You know, and then the Facebook post, and you were generous with yours. And it's just been nice, and it's exciting. And I hope more people get involved. I always felt as a coach that I wanted players to get championships because of the fun of it. And I just hope that there are some officials and some umpires that stick with it, because the postseason is magical. No matter what your sport, it is magical. And so I'm excited. I've never been to Louisville Slugger down there yet. I know it's a turf field, and I've worked over at TBK. It's a little bit different, but it's going to be exciting. Plus, and I need to mention this, I've got a couple of friends, Doug Humphrey, who's a longtime USA, and he was one of my mentors when I kind of got back into softball. He's going to be down there, and I've worked a couple of nationals with a couple other guys who are going to be down there. So there's going to be a lot of camaraderie in it. It really is exciting. I appreciate this opportunity to talk about it and appreciate the recognition, but a lot of people have helped me along the way. So I hope you do a good job when I get down there.
All right, awesome. Good to see Jay Bizzari, a kid that grew up in the area, coached basketball in the area, taught in the area, and still teaches in the area. And again, a 1984 grad of Rock Ridge. Great recognition for him, assigned to the IHSA state softball tournament here early next month down at Louisville Slugger Complex. Coach, hope to see you down there. Congratulations again.
Yeah, hope you're broadcasting. Maybe we'll get a chance to have a Coke together or something.
All right, Jay Bizzari with us on WMJ and WMJ.com.